Blog Talk Radio.
Archangels, ghosts, and Bigfoot. Oh my! It's just another night for Supernatural Girls. Real stories, real answers to life's biggest supernatural mysteries. And now for another exciting interview with paranormal experts from this world and others. Psychic medium Helene Olson and paranormal researcher Patricia Baker. Here are Supernatural Girls.
Welcome, everybody, to another fun episode of Supernatural Girls. Tonight is October 12th, Saturday evening, 2013, and it is Columbus Day weekend, and fall is in full swing in New England. My partner in crime is here with me tonight. Hello, Patricia.
Hello, Helene, and hello to all our listeners. I see we have a number of callers just waiting for their readings. I'm so excited to be
really
doing this fun show with you tonight.
Yeah.
Spooky October.
Yeah. And spooky it is. The energy shifts that have been coming around lately are, whew, they're whacking us all over the place.
They really are. It's quite a lot. We have to keep adjusting, don't we? It's amazing.
Well, it's not even adjusting. It's some of the changes that you and I have been through even, and just in our personal lives and, you know, different things that we thought were going to happen that kind of shifted and other things came in that were brand new. It's just a really, really interesting time. So I love the web, though. I have to talk about what?
My head is still spinning. I'm just trying to settle in here today.
Yeah, I hear you. The weather, I have to talk about that because I love the fall.
I love
the fall. And most people say, no, it means winter's is coming and, you know, whatever, but I just love the fall. I love to see the foliage and the nice
I think it's
air.
The most magical time of year.
Mm-hmm. It really is. It really is. And so, you know, I'm enjoying the trees changing and all of the fairs and all that good stuff. Salem is wild.
That's what I hear.
Month.
It's like the hopping place to be, huh?
It really is. And our guest tonight is Laurie Gibson, a practicing witch who reads in Salem. And so she'll be coming on in the next hour with us, and that should be exciting.
I can't wait to talk to Laurie. She is just great fun and a wealth of information about spooky Salem and witchcraft. And I've got a few questions for her myself, so I can't wait to bring her on at 10.
Yeah, we will, but we have a lot of callers on the line, and that's really nice. So, lovely, lovely. I thought we were going to be preempted by the Red Sox. So, I guess some people aren't that interested in that. So that's
isn't that nice?
Do you have any paranormal news for us tonight?
I do just have one little story that's kind of cool. And it took place in Barbados, which is a beautiful island in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about coffins that were moved around by some type of unnatural, unseen force. And it took place in the Chase Vault, which was located in a West Indian cemetery. And the vault was located about 7 miles from Bridgetown, which was the largest town there in Barbados. And there was a structure built for the Chase family and their close friends. And the vault was built roughly half above.
You mean like a mausoleum at a
like
cemetery?
Like a mausoleum. Mm-hmm. And half of it was above ground and half of it was below ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it was slowly filled with the members of the Chase family. And the first one inside was Mrs. Thomasina Goddard in a simple wooden coffin in 1807. Mm-hmm. And then Mary Ann Chase was placed in the vault the very next year, and then the older sister, Dorcas Chase, in 1812. And some claim that Dorcas starved herself after she was forced into a depression by her father. It sounds like a terribly sad story, but the situation is that the legend actually says, and people in Barbados at the time said that her father was one of the most hated men in Barbados. And when the Chase Vault was opened for his burial, The funeral party was stunned to find that none of the coffins were in their proper place. And they thought the grave robbers had gotten in and tossed the coffins about, and then they realized that that wasn't what happened. It was well known that nothing in the vault was of any value, so there was no reason for any grave robbers to go inside. And the entrance was always a problem for robbers because it was a gigantic rock slab that was cemented in place in front of the only entrance. So each time the vault was opened, the cement had to be chipped away. And several men were needed to move the rock. So eventually it was decided that the grave diggers had somehow disturbed the coffins. But no matter what, the coffins were replaced and the coffin of Thomas Chase was put in place. The vault was resealed, and then in 1816 it was opened for the burial of one of the other children. And like the previous case before, each of the coffins, when they opened the vault, were thrown about.
Wow.
And even the 240-pound coffin of Thomas was thrown from its place. So it's just it's an amazing story because they could never figure out what in the world had happened and what was going on, but clearly the spirits were restless, and they could never determine a natural cause for the reason that this happened inside that vault. Always found to be
incredible in story, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, and the vault never had any water in it. That was nothing. That no earthquakes were. Those earthquakes were eliminated as a source of this. So, this is what happened. It was all in the records in this Barbados cemetery.
Well, Barbados is a magical place. It's one of the places on Earth where I think there is a lot of magic and a lot of energy fields. And so, who knows?
I know. It's
exactly.
We're not happy with this Thomas guy joining them. They were like, "No, keep him out." So, anyway.
Wow.
An interesting story, yes, and well documented.
Fascinating. I love the stories you come up with, Patricia. They're really interesting.
Thank you. I enjoy researching them myself. It's a lot of fun to find these, and this one's so old, but yet so interesting to all of us in this paranormal field.
Mm-hmm. Really is. Such fun. And we have lots of callers for readings on the line right now.
I know.
Now.
We better get
to
them. They've been patiently waiting even before the show.
Spooky stories tonight or take a few callers first?
Let's take the callers. They've been patient enough with us. Let's go right to it.
Have.
See if we can help them
Absolutely.
Out and answer their questions.
Well, we're going to welcome Ani on the line right now. Hello, Ani.
Hi.
You're live on the air.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We're great.
Good.
Thanks for calling.
Good. Yeah, where are you calling from, Ani?
Oh, I'm in California.
Oh, nice. Very nice. And what is your question?
Sunny California.
Tonight? Yeah.
Well, my question is, I want to find out what's going on regarding my love life. I guess more or less what is going on. Yes, I'll just let you see what you can feel first, and then I'll elaborate further.
Okay. Are you in a relationship right now or not? Because we're on the air and you're not. Well, just by listening to you, I can see that you're very, very quiet, very shy, very retiring. And what I'm feeling about you is that you look younger than you are, and that sometimes when men are looking at you, you kind of withdraw. Is that correct?
Sometimes I do, depending on what I guess, you know, if they're the type of person I would be interested in or not.
But you're a little bit confused about who you should be interested in, maybe. You're very careful to check around. You're very guarded about who you should be talking to, and it kind of puts up a little bit of a wall, Ani.
Okay.
What I'm hearing is that there isn't any block, really, about you finding a partner or a love interest. It's more like you're so careful about it that it's causing people to think that you're not as approachable as you could be. And that doesn't mean that you have to accept every single person who walks in front of you. You know, I'm not trying to say that. It's just that people who might be good for you are also a little bit guarded about approaching you because they're not feeling like you're that approachable. Am I saying that the right way?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
So, how can I, like, in what way should I be more approachable, and what else do you feel regarding this issue?
Well, if you see someone that you think is a little bit interesting, you can smile at them instead of sort of turn your face. And you should also kind of be in more social situations where the objective is to meet people. So I'm not suggesting that you go out to bars or anything like that. It's more like joining a group of singles your age that are doing activities, like hiking or walking or museum tours or lectures or brunches or whatever that is, so that the people who are going there are all single and they all know they're there to meet other people.
Okay.
Because I'm not hearing that you're doing that right now.
Okay. So, and basically I guess that boils down to the person that I'm meant to be with long term. What do you see in regards to that person?
Can I jump in here?
Sure, please do.
Okay, a couple things, Annie. Relationships take strength. Relationships are not for wimps. You know, it takes strength to have a relationship, to sustain a relationship. And one of the things I'm picking up here, and I don't know if you are really looking forward to being a mother, but there are mother issues here for you. So whatever your relationship was or is with your mother, if I were you, I would look a little deeper into that relationship because it's definitely affecting who you attract, who you think you want, and the state of your lack of relationship right now. So if I were you, I would look into that relationship a little further. And it looks like there is a sensitive man coming into your life in the near future, I would say within the next few months. And he's somebody who's pretty logical and but also very sensitive, so that looks like a nice opportunity for you. And don't be afraid also to ask for spiritual guidance and help with this issue. It's not as straightforward as you think it is. There are some things that you need to take a look at that you may not have ever looked at before in your life, in your family relationship. So that clear that stuff out of the way, get to know yourself a little bit better in terms of what you want versus where you are and the things that you may need to change, as Helene has mentioned, to get to your end goal and have a sustained relationship. You can have it if you want it.
Okay. And are there any other approaches that I need to change? Because I have met some people that I was, you know, kind of interested in, and they seemed like they were initially interested too. But then, like, for some reason, you know, it didn't really, you know, go very far.
Well, again, I think there are some relationships that, you know, we all have issues in our family relationships. And a lot of times we don't think that that's going to affect us as we become adults, but that's absolutely not true. It does affect us. And there's something here for you that you may need to look at in your past or in the relationship that you have now with your mother. And that is something that you need to clear up first because things like that can get in the way. And it can be a very unconscious thing, and it can basically end up sending people away, the very people that you want close to you. Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Good. Well, thank you.
Okay.
Oh. We're going to have to move along, Annie, but thank you so very much for the call.
Yeah, thank you, Annie, and good luck. It looks like things will turn around for you, and so,
yes.
You know, keep the faith.
Have a great night, Annie.
You too.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a nice call from Annie.
Yes, what a sweet lady. We all hope that she does find those,
lovely,
the relationship she's looking for. Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful energy she has.
Yes. Well,
we're going to welcome Rebecca in Rockport, Massachusetts right now. Hello, Rebecca. You're live on the air.
Hi. I was wondering, I do a little bit of energy healing, but I do a full-time job working with people with chronic illnesses and as a case manager.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of folks have, they just aren't seeing that it is kind of their responsibility to open themselves up to changing their lives. And I think that I do see some changes with the energies coming in for our ascension forward and upward. And I'm kind of wondering if working more in energy healing is how I can help people, or if there's a different sort of modality I should be using. I don't think the traditional sort of case management piece is working. It really doesn't allow for a lot of room to do a lot of that. However, there are some ways that I do help with meditation and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that making sense, my question?
Well, I mean, case management is a necessary occupation. There are people who have to do that job. And so to
right.
the end of the reality and the social services that you provide and leading them in the right place for housing and managing their chronic care is most important aspect, even though it's part of the dense energy of the earth. It is important for people to have that information and have someone looking out for them. But if you're talking about energy healing being the answer for everybody, my answer is no, because it is the soul's intention as to whether they want to receive it. So
mm-hmm.
if someone comes for energy healing and feels as though someone else is going to just wave a magic wand and fix them, energy healing doesn't work on them as well. They can only be shifted
right.
a little bit. When someone comes in full intention, willing to work, willing to recognize their issues, they're in total awareness consciously about things, that's when energy work helps the most, I think. That's just my experience and my opinion. But I think your question is really about what happens to these souls who aren't opening to the universe and they're just living with what's handed to them in this dense planet. And I have to say my opinion of that is that it's almost as though at some point there's going to be a split reality. I don't know how to explain that in such few words here, but it's like the awareness of what's available to us, what our reality can be, what we can create, is much different for those who are, as they say, awake than it is for those who are not.
Mm.
And so I see the realities kind of separating. So people who are awake are having a more peaceful, better experience for real, emotionally, energetically, than people who have no awareness at all, and actually their soul does not want to have an awareness, so we can't make them. Okay, Rebecca, it's like you just can't make them, you know,
right.
and it's not really our job to make them. Everybody has their own journey, and so, you know, all we can do is hold space, be of best service to them as we can, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds a little bit hard on my part because, you know, I can't talk about it for an hour, but...
I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's also a way in with these people that you're working with, especially with chronic illness patients. There's a lot of sadness there. And that's a wonderful doorway, actually, that you can open for them. And I love what Clarissa Pinkola Estes says about tears, that tears are basically a river that take you to a new place. So helping people work through their sadness, their grief, their emotions that lead them into that place where they can release tears, it does create a tremendous amount of clearing and new opportunities for the people you're working with. So if you can do that with them, it will be helpful.
Well, I think it would be remarkably helpful, and I love your idea, Patricia. I think it's wonderful. The problem I think that Rebecca's up against is that not everybody wants to go there, and that's, you know, really comes down to their choice. But the ones that do choose can benefit, just the way Patricia said.
Mm. Yeah, and the confines of case management are a little tight in terms of exploring some of that stuff, but there are some possibilities. I guess, too, I was also wondering if, I don't know if either of you can tell if I should be in the more energetic realm versus the case management piece or in terms of healing, because I've worked in some energy healing modalities.
Well,
would you be? I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Aline. I was just going to say that, you know, you seem to be able to walk the line really easily. You know, switching back and forth from both, and you know, feeding ourselves and remaining financially stable is important. So that would be your choice as to how much you want to dedicate to each aspect of your life, really. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, you are already doing both, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that personally. What do you think, Patricia?
Yeah, and I also, in the future, again, I would say maybe 4 months out, 5 months out, I'm seeing something comes together for you in a new way, and you have a breakthrough. So there's something that allows you to possibly take on a new system of working, and using all of the skills and the talents that you have, because you're very talented. And then it's going to make a change in your life and the way you look at your work and the way you actually do your work. So I see that about 4 to 5 months from now. So be open to it.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that's encouraging.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for the call, and have a great night, Rebecca.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Rebecca.
Yeah.
You bet. Bye.
That was an interesting question.
Yes. You know, there's so many people that have called over the time we've been doing the show that are doing this type of work in the world, and it's wonderful to talk to them and see who they're working with and how they're doing this. It's always a challenge for them. So
great
to hear what they're doing in the world.
It is. Well, let's see. We're moving out to New Mexico right now and welcoming Marie. Marie is live on the line. Hi, Marie.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing very well, thank you. You know, as I was sitting here, and Helene, we had chatted just very briefly, and I was coming to the show with one question, but as I was sitting here thinking, all of a sudden something else very strong kind of popped into my awareness.
Okay.
And this is a very, I think, a very good time with some wonderful people that can maybe give me some insight to this. This one's a toughie. Back in May 2009, I lost my daughter to domestic violence.
Goodness.
Oh, no.
She was in a neighboring state, and it was never investigated. There was a reporter here that did a story on it, and, I mean, she was a bulldog. She had to make sure when she wrote this story that what I brought to her was the truth. And actually, the evidence to her murder is in my possession. But the law enforcement in this little tiny town refused to investigate. And I have had a private investigator shaking his head. I've had law enforcement people here where I live who can't do anything because they're not in the jurisdiction shaking their heads. I mean, it truly is, if it were all laid out there, this is a segment for Dateline NBC or 2020 or something. My question is, I spent a year, because you go to law enforcement to help you. I didn't know that I wasn't going to receive help. And after a year of fighting, county attorneys, attorney generals, police department, and even having people come to me informing me that my life was at risk if I continued to pursue this. My question is, I did back off because my health took a very severe turn for the worse. Mm-hmm. Is there ever going to be an opportunity or a time that I will be able to realize the ability to receive justice for my daughter. And my pressing issue is he is raising my granddaughter. She's living with the man that killed her mother. And
oh, my God.
I do you see a time that this is going to come to the light of day, or the opportunity to begin pursuing this and fighting this again?
Your son-in-law is a powerful person there?
Didn't think he was. I think there's a possibility we're dealing with some drug issues. Cartel,
mm-hmm.
The border.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting a huge connection with him and law enforcement. In fact, I thought he was a policeman.
No, but it was indicated to me the possibility existed that the reason they did not investigate the case was because if they pursued him as they were supposed to with all the evidence I presented, then he had the goods on them in revealing their connection to the cartel.
Well, that makes sense to me. What do you think, Patricia?
Yeah, when you first started talking about this, first of all, my heart breaks for you. This is such a sad situation, and my heart goes out to you, and I know, Helene, yours does too. It's very, very difficult, and I can see how this would affect your health. My goodness me. But here's the thing.
Well,
a situation like this, you either have to go big or not at all. So,
and I tried to go big.
When you talk about 60 Minutes, Dateline, this is a case, this is definitely a place you need to go. Do you send me an email personally, through Supernatural Girls? Just send it to info, or you can send it to me at pbaker@bigpictureagency.com. And I do have a connection with a producer who may be able to take this a little further for you.
Thank you.
I think this is the only protection you would have, because it's true that your life would be in danger if you just continue to move ahead in the way that you've been doing this. You can't do it like that.
And I didn't know any better when I started the process, because, again, law enforcement is supposed to be the good guys.
Right.
But as this continued to go on and on and on, and I was working with a medium, I think Stacy was out of Michigan, trying to put some pieces together. I have been warned by two or three mediums that this is a very, very dangerous territory to tread. But, my granddaughter, I can't not let this go. Now, I did retreat to regain my health. I also retreated because I want them to think that they got away with it.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I quit pressing the issue. But I can't quit pressing the issue because of the baby. And I say the baby, she's probably 7 or 8 now. But the last time I talked to an energy worker, she said her body just kind of floats up on the ceiling. She's just so out of her body because of the abuse and because of the... I've called Child Protective Service. I've done everything. It's like I've never come up against such a difficult energetic wall in my entire life. And I had to back off because of my health, but that was a while back. I'm ready to do something if there is something I can do.
Well, again, my sense of this whole process for you is you've been beating your head against the wall, trying to do the right thing. And
yes.
Because in our system, unfortunately, the good guys don't always wear white hats and the bad guys don't always wear black hats, it's hard to know who's who. And this is a situation where there's actually another big secret that you don't know about yet, and that's the sense I get. There's another huge boulder of a secret here, and that's why, again, I think if I were in your shoes, I would be going big, to the major networks and saying, here's the story, you know, in case you're interested in telling it. You may still not get the resolution you're looking for immediately. However, you may be successful in at least telling the story. But I agree with the things you've heard in the past, that this is a very dicey situation, and it's much bigger than you. And, again, there are things you don't know, especially there's one big thing you don't know. So it's you do have to decide how you want to tread in this. And at some point, you may want to consider, I mean, other aspects of this, which, again, please email me. I've got some other suggestions for you so that you might want
okay.
to take some other tacks in this, because it is it's a very sticky thing, and so you have to make your decisions carefully.
Well, thank you for, number one, giving me the confirmation that every cell in my body has been telling me all along. And I think I needed that as much as anything, is the confirmation that this thing is big, it's dark, it's ugly, it's huge, and my daughter was on the receiving end of it. I think she knew. There were journals and diaries. She said two things to me, Mom. She said, please, if anything happens to me, get my journals and diaries and get the lockbox. Well, they were, of course, gone. Mm-hmm. And legal files were gone. 50,000 files on her computer, wiped off her computer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And at every single turn, there was a brick wall, a brick wall, a brick wall. And she's my daughter. I can't let it go. I cannot let this go.
And
well,
we understand.
Patricia, an email, and she'll do what she can to help you. But my heart is breaking
for you,
Marie, really. It's a horrific situation.
Thank you. I'm only able to even talk about it today because it's just a part of me that I have to kind of put outside my body to communicate about it. But
well, be aware of this. I mean, your spirit guides, the angels you have around you are very powerful, and they are keeping you safe. And that's part of the reason that you've been hitting brick walls. It's not just from the other side, but they want you safe as well. So there's a reason that you're still here, and there are things you can do. Again, it would be completely different from what you're used to doing, and that's what you need right now, something completely different.
Right, right. Thank you. Yes, I don't – the part of me that knows that I don't want to be a bull in the china shop, I mean, I'm the mother that any of us mothers would be. I do not fear things. Maybe I should fear them because it was my child.
Right.
But there is a part of me that also has been warned enough by very powerful people. My daughter will set off my smoke alarm.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally had to ask her to please find another avenue, because in the middle of the night, that's, you know, your heart gets put in your throat. But when I hear that, I get a sense that she's trying to alert me that something is wrong with the baby or with my granddaughter, or something's going on. And I just hit brick walls. I've called Child Protective Services. I've done everything, and I can't get to her, nor will I be able to until I can finally bring him down.
Well, again, just send that email over,
okay.
I'll do what I can to give you
Thank
some
you.
Different approaches that I feel confident will give you a new way of approaching this, in a way that you can feel more at peace about it.
Thank
You're
you.
In my prayers,
thank you. Thank
Marie.
You.
Thank
you.
For the call.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah. God
thank
bless
you.
God bless you, dear.
Thank you.
Wow. Challenges that people have to deal with. Holy.
You Lord. Know, it really makes you appreciate, you know, the things that, again, the blessings we have in every moment, and you never know, life can change in a heartbeat, in the blink of an eye. So,
yeah.
It's something where we have to be grateful in every moment for the love that we have, the people that we hold close to us, because it can all change.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a just a moment for a break, and I hope all of the audience stays with us. Our number is 646-478-0828, and we have a lot of callers on the line right now as it is. So everyone, hang in there. We'll be right back.
Ready for a new experience of freedom and powerful connection? Would you like a positive, effortless change in your life? Then come to CosmicFusion.com, where we offer the most advanced energy clearing and expansion techniques in the world, with a quantum vortex energy to activate your divine blueprint and life's purpose. When your soul leads the way with Cosmic Fusion and quantum vortex energy, you can break clear of past difficulties and blocks with the power of the Source. With Cosmic Fusion, the Source energy does the work for you. It's easy and effortless. Listen to our free meditation right from our Cosmic Fusion website, the Cosmic Code Meditation. Sign up for one of our interactive webinars today. Come to Cosmic Fusion, www.kosmicfusion.com, to experience an effortless awakening and transformation. Are you ready for an upgrade? Are you ready for a new experience of living in the fifth dimensional magic and powerful connection? Then visit CosmicFusion.com today. CosmicFusion.com.
Your property tax bill. Have you seen it lately? It's frightening. Your property taxes are going up while your home value is going down. It's time to fight back and win. For the real truth about the property tax system, get Attorney Pat Quintilian's book, Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Attorney Quintilian answers all your questions and gives you the facts you need to fight a property tax bill that is spiraling out of control. You'll also read about what happens to property owners who don't check their property records, only to find out too late they're taxed on square footage, fixtures, and even buildings that they don't own. Is this happening to you? Learn your rights. Buy Attorney Pat Quintilian's book today. Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Available on Amazon.com.
Sometimes life can be a challenge. Would you like insight and guidance to help you make the best choices right now? Contact Helene at angelslighthouse.com to make your personal appointment for a psychic reading or energy alignment. Helene is a direct channel to the angelic realm and is remarkably capable of connecting to the living as well as to your loved ones on the other side. Helene is available to clients all over the world via phone or Skype, and it's simple to set up a group reading anywhere. Visit angelslighthouse.com, where you'll find an easy way to schedule right online. And while you're there, sign up for the Angels Lighthouse newsletter and receive information on all the free energy circles, giveaways, and jewelry with a message. Visit angelslighthouse.com and contact Helene today.
Show where we're taking all of your calls for readings. Are you there, Patricia?
I am right here. Just can't wait to talk to the next caller. These are all great people, lovely people
they
calling
are.
In tonight.
Beautiful people calling in, we are going to take Lucinda next because her call got cut off. She was one of the first callers into the show. So.
Oh, okay. That's great.
Hello to Lucinda live on the air. Hello, Lucinda.
Hello. Thank you very much. I've
gleaned so much
already from the callers as well.
So how can we help you tonight, Lucinda?
Well, I'm calling about, as I was saying, I've gleaned so much from the callers already when you were talking about awareness could equal more peace. People that are more aware can have more peace. That was very helpful because I'm calling about reducing anxiety and being more peaceful, and particularly around, stream of income. And, like, I have, I'm not unemployed. I'm retired, and I have a pension, but I just wouldn't, I just don't have a lot of peace around that. Like, it could go away with some sort of cyber attack or something.
So your question is how to have more peace around money?
Yes, because I'm a little worried about like cyber attacks of the banks and things like that.
No, you're not a little worried. You're obsessing.
Mm-hmm.
it's a little worried is one thing, and any worry is really wasted energy, because sometimes we worry and worry and worry, and 90% of what we worry about never happens. It's the sneaky things that come up behind you and whack you that you never worried about that are really the issues most of the time, right? So if you're spending a lot of energy sort of obsessing and being worried and overwrought every day thinking that this month your check isn't going to come in, you're kind of losing out on a lot of joy in your life, right?
That's right, in that I do have a couple of product designs that some product people are interested in pursuing with them, and I haven't really helped them very much to help me, but I think I could move forward with that, and that would be the obvious stream of income to get those out on the market.
And it would also help your help you to channel all this energy that you have that's going into worry right now.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a creative energy. It can have a positive side, it can have a negative side. And so it sounds like you're a very creative person. And if you don't channel this energy properly, it'll end up in a place you don't want it to be, and then it'll take you down with it. So it's really important, and I think you've hit the nail on the head. Go ahead and get those things out there. Really take that creative passion and put it into a positive thing that will shore up your finances, but also, it's energy. It's got to go somewhere. It's going to find its level one way or another, and it might as well be to your advantage.
Oh, right. I like that.
Yeah.
So,
many years ago, I used to be a psychotherapist, and I worked with people who had genius IQs, and you remind me of them, because if they didn't funnel their genius into something creative, I can't even describe the mess that they would create in their lives. It went beyond description. So, you are very creative, and you get very passionate about things, but you want to keep it focused on something that's going to benefit you.
Right. Well, that's good. That is encouraging. As I said, just listening to the other callers, I already am encouraged. So,
good.
Now then there is the boyfriend.
Ah, the boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. And he's gone off for a couple of months out to the West Coast. And it's kind of whether we're going to resume when he comes back this way.
What's his first name?
His name's Tim.
Tim.
Mm-hmm. And he is, I know there's love there, and yet there's areas that aren't working.
Pulled back on a lot of different emotional levels, and there are certain places where you just can't reach him, is the way I'm picking him up. And so is this relationship satisfying for you?
Not very much, no. But
right.
also I don't
right.
want to be without him either.
Well, there's no reason for you to make a decision about it at this moment. You know, you're the one who's going to have to choose whether you want to approach him and try to work on working this out or whether you want to let it go. Or there's always the third choice of making the relationship occasional, you know, which he may or may not be up with. But you really have to do some heart searching here to figure out whether this person is for your highest good and whether you can make it work for yourself. Because what I'm really hearing underneath what you're saying is that you'd prefer someone more suited to you. But for some reason you feel like that would be. You feel like that would be too hard to find. And I don't think it is.
No, I wouldn't think that it's too hard to find. I am more under the impression that he's kind of a place keeper until I there is someone else as a, you know.
Yeah, and I think you need to kind of look at him for who he really is. I mean, sometimes we idealize the people in our lives. He may come across as sensitive, but he's not. So it's, you know, there's a lot of, it seems like there's a place where you have to get very real about who he is. And because there's some places where you're not seeing what's right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand what you're saying about a placekeeper. And maybe you don't want to be alone without a relationship, but then that also prevents the right person from coming into your life if you have a placeholder.
Oh, yes, it does.
Yeah, so that's something to think about.
What I've been working on while he's away, and I'll continue to do this awareness work, is that I'm working on language around what I want and not really, because I could easily make the list about why he's no good for me because he does this, he doesn't do that, blah, blah, blah. But I'm trying to say, turn it into really what it is that I need and I want.
That's right.
Yeah, that's good. And, you know, here's the other thing. It's not good to have your boyfriend be a project. So,
yeah.
I think you know what I mean. So
mm-hmm.
keep that one in mind. You don't need him to be your project. You're very creative, and yet that energy needs to go into other things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you.
Well,
thank you. I would agree with that.
Okay,
thank
great.
You so much for
well,
call, Lucinda. We appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, good luck,
thanks,
Lucinda. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Don't you think it's true, Patricia, that most of what we worry about never happens?
Yes, I think a lot of what we worry about, thank goodness, does not come to pass. And, again, it's a misdirection of a lot of spiritual and creative energy. It just gets turned in against us, and we have to be vigilant about the thoughts we think and the way we approach these things, and realize that when it starts to spiral off into another direction, we've got to take charge in a loving way and bring it back to, you know, using that energy what it's meant for, instead of using it against ourselves, which is what happens, you know, with this energy of worry and anxiety. And certainly there's enough going on in the world today to fuel that. So
it sure
it's a challenge.
Is. It's always a challenge. Well, we have Pat in Connecticut who's been very patient, and we welcome Pat live on the air. Hello, Pat.
Hello. Thank you so much. You guys, I'm so impressed with the readings that you give, and I don't know if esoteric is the right word, but I'm wondering if you could look at me on that level. I'm struggling really hard to heal, and there's probably past life stuff going on. There's a whole mixture of things, and if you just want to see what comes up, that's great. If you want specific questions, I'm happy to do that too.
Well, I'm immediately hearing from my guide who popped right up for you, Pat. And at the root of all of this, because we're on the radio and we have a lot of people on the line, is the idea of forgiveness. He just keeps saying that word over and over to me, for you. And you are struggling because there's a lot of things that you are unable to forgive in yourself and also forgive other people for. And I think there's sometimes a misconception about forgiveness. Just because we forgive someone else for anything negative they did in our direction does not mean we have to be their best friends ever again or anything like that. It's just the idea that you are sending love, unconditional love, and allowing that situation to heal energetically. The way I'm hearing this is you've had a lot of challenges throughout your life, and that some of the challenges came in with your innate soul and personality, and some of the challenges were brought to you. And there's a lot of learning going on here for you. And you are struggling, but I don't think that you need to struggle as hard, because when we start getting into forgiveness, and especially forgiving ourselves first for our mistakes or our misguided ways or whatever it is, and we feel better about ourselves, then we're able to face other people who we need to send love to and heal situations so that we can keep them in the past and move forward in our lives. And that's where you're kind of stuck, Pat. Does that make sense to you?
It does, because I've been told that a lot lately, and it's hard for me because from what I can tell, I have done a lot of forgiving, and then at the same time, I'm in some small situations right now where I think it's impossible for me to forgive, only because I'm living in the present moment with it, and I'm dealing with anger, and anger has only come up in my life recently, so that's a gift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's confusing to me. It's really hard to forgive in the midst of the anger. Or somehow I'm not getting forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, here's the other part about anger. I mean, anger is here, is a healthy emotion, actually. It's a positive emotion to let us know
right.
that something needs to change. That's what anger
yeah.
does. It's kind of like a little flag that goes up, and when it's healthy anger, it doesn't last very, very long at all. It just says, hey, something's going on, and it needs to change. And
okay.
so that's the first thing you need to address with your anger. What needs to change? And then,
okay.
if I can just share with you what I see happening, is in the near future, you're going to have a new opportunity. Embrace it. Go for it. It's going to give you some new perspective, some new learning, and you're going to be able to let go. And the bottom line here is your wish is going to come true. You are going to have a different life and one that you can embrace with love. And so that's coming for you. So when you see this new opportunity, I don't know what it is, but it's going to present itself, go for it.
That's great. Sometimes I think because my situation is so difficult right now across the board that it's making me more of a miserable person, so it's harder to reach to more positive aspects of me. So that's very helpful. The other thing is I'm beginning to understand the lack of forgiveness for myself, and I can give you an example if you don't mind. I was just in a very big social event this weekend, a community thing in the city, and I was tired, and the next day I probably left my debit card in the slot in the ATM, and I got so discouraged with myself because I think after 30 years of being on medication, you know, for depression and anxiety, and I've gotten myself off all of that, and also being put through 28 sessions of electric convulsive therapy, it kind of hit me this weekend that maybe it's really true. I have brain damage, and it breaks my heart.
Again, Pat, if I can just stop you here, because we're going to have to go on to the next caller.
Okay.
But don't even go there about
right.
You know, your brain damage or whatever you think is going on. I want to encourage you to be on the lookout for that new opportunity. Okay.
Okay. All right.
And God bless you. Take care and good luck. I think your life's
Thank
going
you.
To take a big, wonderful turn.
Thanks so much. I love you both. You're both really great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank
Matt.
You.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard when we start dwelling on the past and woulda, coulda, shoulda, you know. We have to move forward
and
at all times.
I understand how that happens. I've done it myself, and I know a lot of people have done it. So it's just one of those things, again, to take charge of and say, do we want to do this one again, or do you want to do it a little bit differently? So
right.
I know we've got so many more people that want to talk about their stuff and get answers, and then we've got Lori coming in just a few minutes. So do we have another time to take another caller, Helene?
I think we have time for one more caller.
Okay.
And we're welcoming Diane from New Orleans on the line. Hello, Diane.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
Okay, how are you?
Oh, good.
Great.
And what question do you have for us tonight?
Basically, I want to find out about career, job, something.
You're having a lot of trouble finding what you want.
Yes.
And what is the? I'm getting a blockage here, Diane. What is it that? We only have a few minutes. We don't have an hour on the air, but it's almost as though you apply for jobs, or you look for a job, but it seems like everywhere you turn, nothing ever happens. Is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What is the root cause of this, do you think?
I have no clue. I have the experience. I know I haven't been in the, well, I was applying for jobs in the office. I haven't done the office jobs for like 10 years.
Well, a little bit of it is just the financial tide of chaos that's covering the planet. I mean, every job opening has many, many applicants. And that becomes an issue, of course, for a lot of people. But there is another aspect of this that is blocking you. Can you pick up on that, Patricia?
Yeah. I mean, here's what I'm getting. They don't, for some reason, when you go to apply for these jobs, they don't see you as a team player. They see you as somebody who stands alone. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So one of the things that you want to take a look at for yourself is, do you see yourself as a team player? Are you just trying to get a job and you want to get your foot in the door, or do you see yourself as somebody who can be a team player and wants to work with other people? That's what they have to feel from you. They need to feel that you want to be on their team. And if you can change that energetically, and you can project that energetically, embody it energetically, you're going to get a job. And you'll get the job you want, and you'll find new friends in it at the same time. But that's what's happening.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Yeah. I would encourage you to do some reading on the internet about clearing your energy or finding someone to help you with that. Okay, Diane?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Good luck.
Thank you for the call and best of luck. Yeah. Oh, what we have to put up with on Earth.
It's a challenge, but you know what? I keep thinking back to our show with Timothy Wiley and how he said all of these things are an opportunity, all of them, to basically get ourselves into a position of being better, you know, of refining our personalities and, you know, just refining who we are. So it's like turning a piece of coal into a diamond, and that's what all these things are about.
And he's absolutely right, and I think that every single caller tonight is heartfelt about expanding their awareness. And
oh, yes.
I'll start, you know.
That's exactly right. I mean, every single caller tonight is wanting a change for the better.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a short break. Please stay tuned, and we will welcome Laurie Gibson in just a few moments.
Sometimes life can be a challenge. Would you like insight and guidance to help you make the best choices right now? Contact Helene at angelslighthouse.com to make your personal appointment for a psychic reading or energy alignment. Helene is a direct channel to the angelic realm and is remarkably capable of connecting to the living as well as to your loved ones on the other side. Helene is available to clients all over the world via phone or Skype, and it's simple to set up a group reading anywhere. Visit angelslighthouse.com, where you'll find an easy way to schedule right online. And while you're there, sign up for the Angels Lighthouse newsletter and receive information on all the free energy circles, giveaways, and jewelry with a message. Visit angelslighthouse.com and contact Helene today.
Your property tax bill. Have you seen it lately? It's frightening. Your property taxes are going up while your home value is going down. It's time to fight back and win. For the real truth about the property tax system, get attorney Pat Quintilian's book, Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Attorney Quintilian answers all your questions and gives you the facts you need to fight a property tax bill that is spiraling out of control. You'll also read about what happens to property owners who don't check their property records, only to find out too late they're taxed on square footage, fixtures, and even buildings that they don't own. Is this happening to you? Learn your rights. Buy attorney Pat Quintilian's book today. Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Available on Amazon.com.
Are you ready for a new experience of freedom and powerful connection? Would you like a positive, effortless change in your life? Then come to CosmicFusion.com, where we offer the most advanced energy clearing and expansion techniques in the world, with a quantum vortex energy to activate your divine blueprint and life's purpose. When your soul leads the way with Cosmic Fusion and quantum vortex energy, you can break clear of past difficulties and blocks with the power of the Source. With Cosmic Fusion, the Source energy does the work for you. It's easy and effortless. Listen to our free meditation right from our Cosmic Fusion website, the Cosmic Code Meditation. Sign up for one of our interactive webinars today. Come to Cosmic Fusion, www.kosmicfusion.com, to experience an effortless awakening and transformation. Are you ready for an upgrade? Are you ready for a new experience of living in the fifth dimensional magic and powerful connection? Then visit CosmicFusion.com today. CosmicFusion.com.
Patricia.
Hey,
I want
Helene.
To apologize to James. He was on the line as our next caller before Laurie came on, but his call seems to have dropped, so I'm sorry to James. And Laurie is here, so why don't we just bring him? Yay! Hello, Laurie.
Hello,
how are you tonight?
I'm tired, but I'm good.
Well,
so
I'm
hearing your voice, Laurie. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
Well, Laurie is a psychic medium who works in downtown Salem, Massachusetts, and also a practicing witch and very involved with the community of Salem, Massachusetts. And so you were busy all day reading, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. It's fun, though. I get to meet lots of interesting people. I love the month of October.
Why don't you set the stage for downtown Salem at this time of year? It's like a party in the streets.
There's so many people. The energy is just all over the place. people from all over the world.
That's so exciting. You've got all kinds of great events happening in Salem this month, too. You have the Witch's Ball. You have a Vampire Ball. You've got all kinds of wild parties and things going on there.
Yes, which I look forward to.
Do you go to a lot of the events, Laurie?
I only do a few of the events because I'm usually, you know, reading. That's my thing, so I only attend a couple of the events, but the ones that I attend are the ones that all my friends go to, so I get to see everybody, and it's just amazing. This year I'll get to go to the Witch's Ball, and I'll get to go to the, you know, the Cabot Ball, and it will be fun.
Well, this is a great time of year. I call it Spooky October. I love October because there is so much excitement in the air, and it is all mystical and magical. And, you know, but I've got a question for you because I know a lot of people have questions about witchcraft. And you're a famous witch, though. That's something that we didn't announce. You're famous in and of it by yourself. You are a famous witch in Salem. So, but you got your start with actually one of the other famous witches in Salem.
Yes, I had the privilege just studying with Laurie Cabot.
And now tell us about Laurie and how did you get, you know, to be her student? I mean, that's quite an honor.
Oh gosh, I've known Laurie probably 25 years now. Well, you guys already know I always knew I was different. Not the normal child, grew up Catholic, had way too many questions. So I always like to say that I was kind of kicked out of Catholic school, but they nicely asked me to go.
They showed you the door, huh?
Which basically is the same thing. So I found my way to Salem, where I had a perfect fit, and stumbled upon Laurie, and took a couple of classes with her. She's, you know, now a very, very good friend of mine. And, just kind of rolled from there. You know, met a lot of interesting people along the way, really good friends that are in the witchcraft community, and I just like my life. I like what I do.
That's terrific. I mean, and you did find your place in Salem. Now, tell us a little bit about covens, and are you a member of a coven, and you know, again, because we're talking to a large audience here who may not be as familiar with witchcraft and covens and how all of this works. So if you could kind of...
Yeah, I don't belong to an open coven. I don't belong to an open coven. I belong to a coven that has it's a select group. So basically it's more or less kind of private. So it's not something that we really discuss what goes on as far as the magic and everything like that. There are a couple of open covens that you can join, or groups that you can be a part of, but mine is private.
So yours is a closed group, and you have a certain amount of members that have probably been there for a while, huh?
Yeah, handpicked. You know, it's people that you really want to practice magic with that you trust completely.
And
I think you
have to trust completely.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because you work in the light, and I know you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's... It's very interesting about energy because, to me, energy, once you learn how to work with energy and use energy, it's just like any other thing. It can be used for good things and not good things, right? And
mm-hmm.
so,
and very easily manipulated.
Yes, and it's important for people to, if they're looking for a group or a coven or whatever, to assess that, to make sure that they're with people that they resonate with, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Everyone that's in my coven, we're all friends. So that's like, I think the best thing is that we're friends first. And that way the trust is already developed.
Mm-hmm. And how often do you consider inviting new people into your coven? I mean, is that something that you do like annually or just as
don't.
The spirit moves you?
We don't. It's pretty much set in stone and we don't.
You don't invite anybody new in. Okay, so
no.
That's it.
Yeah, not for a long time anyways. Yeah. I'm not the one who runs it, but like I said, we're a select group. You know, there's just a handful of us, and we trust each other completely.
Mm-hmm. Now, for witchcraft, people getting familiar with this, It's, you know, again, my understanding as an outsider, I liken it very much to Native American tradition, that there's a respect. There's a respect for the land. There's a respect for the guardians of the land, things like that. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that and maybe some other similarities?
Respect for yourself first. That's the first thing, respect for yourself. You have to respect yourself before you can, you know, respect or appreciate anything else. It has to start there.
Good place
to
start.
And like you said, yeah, oh yeah, definitely. And like you said, you know, the Native American tradition, every tradition has a little bit of, you know, of something. There's some form of, I want to say it's familiar. It all starts somewhere. Everyone worships a god or a goddess or a higher being, you know. It's in, I don't know how to really describe it. It's just like, it is what it is. Just like if you believe in God, it's there. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like you just live it. You just live it.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you feel very supported by by the energies you embrace.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, you have to be comfortable with that.
So as far as the spooky part of October, how do the energies in Salem change at this time of the year?
Well, Helene, you know how energy works. You start throwing, you know.
Yeah, well, you know me. I'm a chicken liver.
Different energy into the mix. You know what happens.
I do, but I'm asking you because you stay there till the last hour of the last day, and I never went into Salem in the last few days before Halloween. So.
See, I like it. I like all that energy, though. It makes you feel alive. I look forward to it every October. I mean, I could sit in that chair from morning until night if I had to. And each and every person that I see, you know, somehow you connect with their energy, whether it's bad or it's good. Some, you know, you can, like I said, manipulation again, you can, if it's bad, you can make it into the good. You know what I mean? And still know that you're coming out at the end of the day a happy person.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah. But I was talking about more, I agree with you about sitting with people that way, yes. But I'm talking about more the energy that's floating around there seems to get kicked up at this time of the year.
Oh, yeah. Everybody that comes into town has a little something with them. Or somebody,
I
should
think,
say.
Yeah.
So,
well,
yeah,
I'll agree
so
with that. But I think that the energy of all the readers and people doing all of these events and rituals and all kinds of seances and ghost tours, that kind of stuff kicks up whatever's laying around, kind of.
Yeah, I think it adds to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that just people more in tune to it when it gets busier. It's always right there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's so much that it gets kicked up. It's just that it's you feel it a little bit more because of the rush.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically for the whole year, I work with all these people. You know, the events might not have as many people attending, but we have certain events all year long. So it really doesn't change for me. Yeah, so it really doesn't change for me like it would for somebody else.
Yeah, it changes for me.
90% of the people, 90% of the people that I see as far as like readers go and stuff like that, they're the people that I see every day.
Yeah, but I found the energy sort of being more alive at this time of the year because it just seemed like, and maybe it was just because of being more open from reading and everything, but it just seemed like.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There were more ghosts everywhere. There were more, you know, just really sort of ramped up a little bit, like someone put the dial all the way up to top volume, you know, for these things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The thing is like in October, you don't even have to walk out into the street for that. You know how that is, Helene?
I do.
You know, October, like I said, everybody comes in with a little something.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's, you know, their mother who's passed away or their friend's mother who passed away who's along for the ride. You know what I mean? So, like I said, we don't even have to leave the store and the energy is free-flowing.
Yeah, it's true. It is true.
Now, do you also feel, Lori, that in October, as we get closer to Halloween, that the veil gets thinner and thinner so that you're... Yes, okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And so that's a better way of putting it, Patricia. I guess that's what I was trying to say, was that it felt
as
like...
we get closer to that time, it does get thinner and thinner.
And now in Salem, there's a, more than one graveyard, right? There's a few.
Yeah, there's several.
And they're pretty haunted from what we talked to you about last time. It sounded like you were able to actually get some great ghost pictures.
Yeah, yeah. It's luck of the draw, though. It's whether or not they want to be seen.
Mm-hmm. So what's your favorite ghost picture that you've received?
Oh, it's not even taken in Salem. It's, I wouldn't even say it was a ghost. It was a fairy, actually.
Oh, neat. Really? That's great.
Yeah. I got it at a place in Billerica, Mass. Yeah, it was a really haunted place, and there she was, little lantern. And, yeah, it was actually exhibited in a show because it was so amazing. Yeah, it's kind of cool.
What did she look like?
I never expected that one. Just a little tiny light. Like, you could tell it was like a figure of a person. You could like kind of like see the wings, and you could see the little lantern, and she's just kind of like floating.
Oh, my goodness. So just
what we've come
to accept as what a fairy would look like.
Mm-hmm.
Wings and a little person and holding a lantern?
Yeah. There's a little lantern in her hand.
Oh, how
cute. I say her, but I don't know if it really was a her.
Right. But that's adorable.
Yeah, it was
really
that's
cool. A little different than the gateways to hell that we were talking about last time in the Salem Cemetery. So
I don't think it was Salem.
Helene doesn't like that stuff, bud.
Well, you know what? I deal with Laurie. I have to deal with it sometimes, but I certainly don't go looking for it. But I think that story...
It's not happening to me, though. I don't necessarily go looking for it, Helene.
Well, no, I know you don't go looking for
it. Either it might show up, but... Huh?
You don't go looking for it, but I don't walk into cemeteries at night, you know?
Oh, see, I like it.
Yeah.
I think it's very peaceful.
Uh-huh.
See, I like it, too. I do, and I know I promised you, Lori, that I was going to bring Helene for one of these jaunts, and I have yet to make good on that promise, so I promise
I know, won't. I know. I was, like, waiting all summer long. And
I know, and I let you down. I'm so sorry, but I'll drag her there. Don't worry. It's going to happen. The camera's rolling. It will happen.
Yeah, I can't wait.
And then, you know, I remember you said that there are tunnels underneath Salem that have just recently been opened.
Yeah, which I've never been into them. So
you
have
not?
To,
okay.
No, not yet. I have to actually, there's a tour. And I haven't actually been able to take it yet. So I'm really interested in I'm thinking maybe after, you know, the season closes, if, you know, the guy's still doing the tours, if not, maybe he can give us, you know, a private tour or something. I'd just like to see. I haven't been in.
Have you heard any stories about the tunnels?
No, not really, believe it or not.
Oh, gee. We're going to have to create our own stories.
Do you know what the tunnels were created for?
No. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't even know they were there until, like, last year or the year before. Mm. Until, like, I found out there was a tour. I'm like, really? We have tunnels?
Well, it sounds like a really cool thing to do. I'm sure that the people that visit Salem would love to sign up for that. It's very different, and it is something they just did recently.
Yeah, I don't know if the tours are private or if it's something that, you know, goes out, like, on a nightly basis in October and you can actually attend, or I don't know how it works. I have to actually check into it.
It sounds exciting.
Yeah, I want to go. Well, maybe when you come up, Patricia.
Well, I'm all for that. Yes. Okay. Well, we're gonna do that first, and then we'll head over to the Gateway of Hell in the graveyard. So,
Helene.
Well, that gateway that Laurie was talking about last time isn't actually in Salem, is it, Laurie?
No, it was in Marblehead.
It's in another place.
It's in Marblehead. Well, that's not that far. We can go over there.
No, right up the road. Yeah, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be cool to see also. And, pay a visit over there. And then we could post the pictures and the video on the Supernatural Girls website. And people can go and see how we got scared to death and why. So, but this is the time of year for all
you
of that.
You get scared, Patricia?
I'm not scared.
Yeah, I don't.
I say that now. I mean, I'm sitting here, you know, in my house. I'm not scared. Of course, I'm not scared. You know, but you know, we'll see what happens when you get me out there. I don't think I'd run screaming into the night, but We'll have to
see.
No,
that was a big gateway that was open there, wasn't it, Laurie?
Yeah, I think I talked to you that night, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, guess what? She's like, yeah, I'm all set.
So Salem is a pretty haunted place in and of itself. So I know you've had a lot of experience. I mean, you have experiences every day there, but do you have anything that has really stood out, anything in the graveyard or even in your shop, anything that really was made a big impact on you?
I'd have to probably say no, because I think it's because I'm just so used to this and you kind of just live it every day that, yeah, no.
So, Laurie, can I talk about the story about the dolls?
I don't know.
No, don't. Don't talk about the dolls.
Yeah, I'll have like 900 people in the store tomorrow.
Can I talk about it or not?
I don't know.
Well, are the dolls still there or are they gone?
Yes, they are.
They're gone.
Are they haunted?
No, they're there. No, they're there. Oh, they definitely are.
Okay, so I'm going to tell the story.
Okay.
Go for it.
So I'm in Laurie's store where she works, Bewitched in Salem, Massachusetts at 180 Essex Street, in case anybody's interested. And I'm talking to Laurie, and she says to me, we have some dolls over there. You should go take a look at them. So I'm like, okay. I'm like an idiot, you know, okay. So I go over, and there are two little dolls, like 11-inch size, you know, Barbie-size dolls. And they have these little strange outfits on, like they're farmers or something. And they both have horns on their head, and they're under, like, a glass dome. So... or plastic, whatever. And I just walk up to them.
Oh, they don't have horns in their head.
Okay, I'm thinking of other dolls.
Those are
okay.
Those are pins.
Anyway.
In their head.
Oh, pins. Okay, better. Pins.
Yeah.
So I walk up to the dolls, and I'm just, like, looking at them. And right in my head, I hear this voice, want to do some ritual with us? And like, ran away, and I was like, what did you send me to those dolls for? They're talking. Laurie, you laughed your ass. Excuse me, you laughed your butt off. You thought it was hilarious.
It was so funny. She's
and
like,
nobody bought them, huh?
Ready to pull her hair out. She's like, I'm out of here. It was so funny, though. You cracked
yeah,
me
and
up,
they're
Lee.
Still there. I'm kind of amazed.
Well, yeah, I don't know if Bill wants to sell them.
Oh, okay.
They're kind of really cool.
Yeah.
So you didn't
want
to do any ritual with them.
No, but
no,
they were friendly.
Yeah, she was all set with that.
They were friendly, but...
They were very friendly.
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you, I got to share this with you guys, because graveyards don't creep me out, but dolls creep me out. So I don't know if I'd be going
okay
over and
dolls.
Talk to them in your shop.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with dolls. I actually, from one investigation I did with the paranormal group that I was with, I actually brought home a haunted doll, which was kind of cool.
And what happened with that one?
Oh, she lives at my house.
Oh, she's at your house. And how
yeah,
do you know
she
she's haunted?
There.
What does she do? Does she, like,
oh, she
talk?
Definitely has an attachment with her.
Mm-hmm.
Objects can pick up, you know, energy, vibrations, you know.
Oh, yes, they do.
Kind of sticks with
yeah.
them, you know. So, I mean, that's how people are able to read objects and tell
yeah.
where they've been, who they belong to. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, she has a little bit going on, and she lives with me. So dolls don't creep me out. Clowns do, however. I don't like clowns.
Okay. I can
relate
to that.
That movie, It, that did it for me. I'm like, good. Mm-mm.
That was the Stephen King one, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was scary. He knows how to scare you. Yep.
Yeah, I'm not done with Pennywise. I'm good.
Yeah. But you're okay with haunted dolls, so that's very interesting.
I'm good with that, yeah.
Well, objects can have all kinds of attachments with them, as you said, Laurie, and some of them are great,
mm-hmm.
great spirits and very helpful information, just like anything else, or it can be the opposite as well. So it sounds like your doll is really friendly to you, so that's good.
Is what?
is friendly to you, she helps you.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, you can kind of make friends if you want anyways. Like, you could have befriended the dolls at the store. You just chose not to. You can make friends.
I actually
didn't
expect them to talk directly to me. I think that's what freaked me out.
Why do you think I sent you over there?
I don't know.
I knew they would.
He has so many interesting things in the store that I just thought it was something to look at. I wasn't really paying attention that way.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Now on, you know, if I send you to look at a doll, you know it's talking.
Interesting. Well, we're going to take this opportunity to take a little break. We do have one more caller on the line, so maybe we'll connect with them when we return. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Property tax bill. Have you seen it lately? It's frightening. Your property taxes are going up while your home value is going down. It's time to fight back and win. For the real truth about the property tax system, get attorney Pat Quintilian's book, Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Attorney Quintilian answers all your questions and gives you the facts you need to fight a property tax bill that is spiraling out of control. You'll also read about what happens to property owners who don't check their property records, only to find out too late they're taxed on square footage, fixtures, and even buildings that they don't own. Is this happening to you? Learn your rights. Buy attorney Pat Quintilian's book today. Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Available on Amazon.com.
Sometimes life can be a challenge. Would you like insight and guidance to help you make the best choices right now? Contact Helene at angelslighthouse.com to make your personal appointment for a psychic reading or energy alignment. Helene is a direct channel to the angelic realm and is remarkably capable of connecting to the living as well as to your loved ones on the other side. Helene is available to clients all over the world via phone or Skype, and it's simple to set up a group reading anywhere. Visit angelslighthouse.com, where you'll find an easy way to schedule right online. And while you're there, sign up for the Angels Lighthouse newsletter and receive information on all the free energy circles, giveaways, and jewelry with a message. Visit angelslighthouse.com and contact Helene today.
Are you ready for a new experience of freedom and powerful connection? Would you like a positive, effortless change in your life? Then come to CosmicFusion.com, where we offer the most advanced energy clearing and expansion techniques in the world, with a quantum vortex energy to activate your divine blueprint and life's purpose. When your soul leads the way with cosmic fusion and quantum vortex energy, you can break clear of past difficulties and blocks with the power of the source. With cosmic fusion, the source energy does the work for you. It's easy and effortless. Listen to our free meditation right from our cosmic fusion website, the Cosmic Code Meditation. Sign up for one of our interactive webinars today. Come to Cosmic Fusion. www.kosmicfusion.com to experience an effortless awakening and transformation. Are you ready for an upgrade? Are you ready for a new experience of living in the fifth dimensional magic and powerful connection? Then visit cosmicfusion.com today. cosmicfusion.com.
Thank you.
everyone, and thank you for staying tuned this evening. It's been so much fun and so interesting to hear from so many callers tonight. We have one more caller on the line, Patricia, who wants to talk about castles in Europe that she's visited. So
oh,
I'm going
sounds
to bring
like
her
fun.
On. We're going to welcome Mary from Illinois. Mary, you're live on the air.
Hi. I'm so excited to hear to actually talk to you guys. I just was listening
thank
to your
you.
Show, and I wanted to add that when I did traveling, there were a castle that I went to, and I always feel the energy in the castle. There was one in particular that I went to in Edinburgh, Scotland, and right next to it, there was where they had the executions take place.
Ooh.
And there was like this like palpable feeling of like just like depression and like this odd like, and there was like this weird mist that was in this area, and I just, it was almost like you could feel like the sadness of everything that happened there.
I think that events leave a major imprint on places, and Laurie, you know about that because you do paranormal
investigations.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Did you stay in the place, or did you feel like you had to leave, Mary?
Well, I actually felt like, what was interesting is I was in a tour, and I just did not want to be by myself. There was also another place that I went to in Glasgow, Scotland, that was also, I felt, had an imprint, too. It was actually next to where they, it's a place where they used to, it was like an infirmary, like a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And they had all the, you know, back in the olden days when people got, like, typhoid and smallpox.
Mm-hmm.
And that was even worse, actually, because it was like you just felt like these, like, almost like these innocent souls that were stuck there.
Mm. Can you comment
on that?
Yeah,
it's kind of a heavy feeling.
Yeah, very heavy. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that basically when you have a place like, I have a hard time with hospitals as well because the sickness, it's hard to change that energy.
Mm.
That it's like almost like that energy gets trapped and stays like stagnant. I think it's even worse than like, where, like, she's to the castle where the executions were, because it's almost like you know it's going to be an end where illness just drags out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point,
Yeah.
We have a place right near us, Laurie, that used to be a state mental health facility.
Mm-hmm.
And they made condominiums out of it. And now people are having lots of issues over there with strange activity, and I've actually been to that place some years ago before it was converted to condos. I had to get out. It was so overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah, mental illness kind of works the same way as other health problems. It's like it's a drawn-out process.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, it's like that energy just kind of gets pulled and warped into something different.
Yeah, and there were a lot of spirits there, too, a lot of them. So.
I'm sure.
What you're saying, Mary. Hear what you're saying. People have said the same thing about Gettysburg and many other battlefields and places that had a lot of, I don't want to use the word negative, but I guess that's what it is, a lot of sad situations going on. The imprint just doesn't release that easily.
Well, you figure something like Gettysburg, I mean, how many of those poor soldiers, like, laid there, you know what I mean? So, again, it's like that long, drawn-out process.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, before they actually passed.
Yeah, that's true. And it was repetitive. I mean, because it wasn't just one person, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many soldiers, or there were so many sick people, whether it was tuberculosis or whether it was a mental illness. There was just so much of this repetitive energy kind of ingraining itself into the fabric of time. So you can see why, you know, there would be an energy of imprint that would be so powerful.
Yep. Definitely.
Well, we appreciate your call, Mary, and very interesting that I think the average person can really feel the energy of the place if they're sensitive.
Oh,
and also, even if they don't think they're sensitive, if they just stop and clear their mind for a moment and tune in a little bit, I think we can all feel that vibration.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah. So what's coming up for you, Glory? You've got lots of work to do the rest of the month, right?
Yeah, basically
until
like the events come up, I'll just basically be reading every day,
yeah.
which like the rush. I like the, you know, being there all the time and getting to see people that I only see once a year that filter into town, whether they're coming back to me for a reading because they've seen me the year before, if it's just friends I get to see once a year. Mm-hmm. I look forward to October.
Yeah. It's an exciting time in Salem. It is.
It is. Like I said, you get to do things that you don't normally do or see people you don't normally see, even if it's for a minute.
That's true. But
you know,
the Witch's Ball is a public event, right?
Yes. Yep.
And so anybody can get tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it like to attend that? They must be a very crowded affair with hundreds of people showing up for that.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is crowded. Everyone dressed in the costume. And this year I think the theme is Witch's Familiar. So there'll be people in all kinds of animal masks and stuff like that. It'll be kind of cool.
Wow.
I usually don't dress up too much because usually I go right from work, so I don't really have time to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but it sounds like a pretty formal event.
Good time. What?
It sounds like it's a formal event. You know, everybody in costume.
Oh yeah,
except
every
you.
Year. Except me. I might get a mask this year.
Oh boy.
I don't know.
You gotta go in costume. My goodness.
I know. I dressed up for the vampire ball last year.
You do? Okay. Now, what's the vampire ball like?
Well, this year we're not actually having one.
No.
Yeah.
How come?
We're not having a vampire ball this year. Christian decided to cancel it, so we're just going to have the witch's ball. So you put, I guess, more into that, you know, more time and stuff.
Oh, that's too bad. I always look forward to seeing the pictures from the vampire ball.
Dressed as a vampire.
Yeah.
So that was cool. I had someone do Tears of Blood last year, one of the makeup artists. So it looked like
neat.
My eyes were bleeding.
Lovely.
That was very cool. And I had my custom bangs in, so, yeah, that was
well,
cool.
Salem kicks off the whole month with a big parade downtown, and I saw a picture of you on a Segway, all lit up in a cape that you decorated with electric lights, and it was a fantastic picture. I loved it.
Yeah,
what
was
that was like?
So much fun. Oh, it was amazing. I absolutely loved it. Kristen and I usually I'm the front with the Segways, and we had a really good time. He lit his cape up. I lit mine up. I had fiber optics running through the cape and in my hair. Yeah, it was very cool. Very cool. We had a blast.
So
the witches were rocking it out.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
one of
kind
the things
of the beginning of October.
Yeah, one of the things they sell in Salem during the month, and I suppose you can find them all year long, but during the month of October, it's very prominently displayed that a lot of the shops are selling witch hats. And they are absolutely exquisite. They are decorated in anything you can possibly imagine, you know, pumpkins, spiders, I mean, anything. And I'm wondering, does the Wiccan community or the witch community find, are they okay with those kinds of hats being sold?
Yeah.
A lot of
my friends who are, you know, witches, they wear decorated hats as well. I think I'm one of the only people that don't.
Well, how could you? You have that hair that's standing straight up.
Well, that's what it is. When kids ask me, like, you know, they'll say, oh, she's a real witch. Like, you know, well, why don't you have a hat on? Well, because I have pointy hair. I don't need a pointy hat. So that's basically what it comes down to. I can't put my hair under a hat. So I just don't wear one. But they are very cool, and we have a lot of great designers that are in town that, I mean, they're so pretty to look at. You can get
them
where they have, like, all kinds of really beautiful, vibrant flowers, or you can get them where they're a little bit on the darker side where they're decorated with, you know, spiders and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they are pretty, though.
And it's kind of interesting that the price range is so wide. You can find a really pretty one for $10, or you could go for a real designer end hat for $150, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And people really do buy them to take them home as a souvenir or decoration for their home, and they're just lovely.
Yeah, a lot of people do the display their witch hats. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes, like the white ones now that a lot of the shops are carrying, they'll use them as, you know, tree toppers for Yule.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is so cool. Wow.
Yeah, so kind of cool.
What do you think is the next item that's really popular for people to buy in Salem?
Let me see, this year. See, I don't get out much, so I couldn't really tell you what people are buying other than in the shop that I work at.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
so,
candles,
I mean,
candles are always prominently displayed, either charged and energized candles.
That's all year round, though. That's not even just like October. People come in and look for their magic goods all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So candles are always, you know, on someone's list. That's for sure.
Crows were popular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the small crows that look real. Those are kind of cool. Yeah.
A lot of people are decorating hats with them now.
Yeah.
So, a lot of people like to take their statuary home, you know, their favorite god or goddess, or, you know, little skeletons and stuff like that. Or everybody wants a piece of Salem, something that says Salem Mass, snow globe, or something.
Yeah.
But like you said, candles are always on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have candles that are charged for healing or love, and that's always one of the first to go.
When
people come to you for a reading, because you've been so busy, you know, seeing these folks every single day,
mm-hmm.
what's a typical reading like? Is it like a psychic reading or mediumship, or do they ask you to cast a magical spell for them?
Oh, I don't do that in the store, and I won't. I don't perform magic for people in the shop. I don't cast spells for anybody. As far as, like, the readings go, it can range anywhere from mediumship to just someone who has a question on love, or they just want to know how their health's doing, or they might have a health issue, and they want to know how it's going to, you know, work out. Are they going to come out of it, or, you know, how much difficulty they will have. Finances is a big one. Love seems to be the one that's always up front and center, though. Everybody wants
really?
To talk about love.
Everybody has that question about relationships.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's actually kind of cute sometimes because I'll get readings where people come in and they'll go, I want to know about my relationship. And it's just like that, like the tone drops. It's like they're so afraid that someone's going to hear them. You know, I go, why are you whispering? It's actually kind of cute. But everyone wants to know about their relationship.
Hmm. Now you said you don't do magic in the store, but you imply then that you do magic for people in a different location or another place?
No. You know, among friends, but for the most part, I don't really cast spells for people.
I see. So no matter what, you don't do that.
Yeah. No. I'll
lend
a hand or advice, but you know, as far as actually casting spells, no.
You know, we had Lon Duquette on the show a bunch of times, and Lon...
Oh, I love Lon.
Isn't he the best? I'm telling you what.
Yes.
I just love him, too. Well, anyways, he was saying the same thing. He said, I don't do magic for other people.
Mm-mm.
And he shared some horror stories about when he did.
Yeah.
He said, look, I'll instruct people in how to do their own magic for themselves,
mm-hmm.
but I just don't do magic for other people at all.
Mm-hmm.
So... You share that.
Yeah, you can kind of point them in the right direction. The internet is a great tool.
Yeah.
You can basically find anything you want there or, you know, pick up a book at any given shop that will instruct you. But no, I agree with him right there.
Yeah. And after I heard his stories, I could see why. It is not something that, I guess, works out very well. So it's interesting. But I just had to ask because I know people have a – kind of a thought in their mind or perception of witches that they're always doing magic for other people, and that isn't really the case. So you do magic for yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, for the most part, yes.
Now, you read with cards and without cards. I know you do palm reading.
Correct.
And also using your cards, and I've had readings with you, and you're a phenomenal reader. And
Thank you.
What's your favorite deck, Laurie?
My favorite deck, I think it's the artwork on the Salvador Dali. That's my favorite deck.
Pretty.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah.
It's unusual looking, yeah.
I loved his work. So, I mean, well, he's a little on the eclectic side, like I was. You know, I am. He was, I should say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that definitely an attraction. I mean, the Rider-Waite is what I use at work because it's like the most universal deck, as mm-hmm. you know, Helene. I think
yep.
You use a similar deck, if not the same one.
I use the same one, and I have a lot of decks, but for some reason that one's
yeah.
always spoken to me, and so that's the
yeah.
one I always go to if I am reading cards, yeah.
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 Like I said, that one I read with at work. There are a couple other decks that I do keep with me. If, you know, I feel someone needs a different deck, then I'll pull another deck out.
Mm-hmm.
For little kids, if, you know, they want to see the pictures on the tarot deck, I have the gummy bear tarot.
Which, oh, do you?
I've
seen
keep for
that.
The younger crowd. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For the teenagers and stuff like that. It's basically based on the Rider-Waite deck, except it's gummy bears.
Yeah.
So it's
not
really
as intrusive,
cute.
Right? Yeah.
Definitely not.
Yeah. Can you
definitely
talk a little
not.
Bit? For the people always ask me this question, so maybe you can talk a little bit about how people should care for their deck of cards.
If when you first get a deck, this is what I did anyways. I slept with my deck for like probably 2 or 3 weeks underneath my pillow. So you
yeah,
can
a lot
form
of people
that,
do that.
Yeah, form that connection with your deck. Constant mm-hmm. shuffle, you know, during the day, looking mm-hmm. at your cards, forming your connection. And as far as the care goes, I mean, make sure you have it in a safe place where no one can really. I don't let anybody touch my cards. I don't know
no,
about you, Pony.
Right.
I know some readers
oh,
will
no.
let them,
I made that
you know,
mistake
the
when
client,
I first started working.
You know, cut
in,
the deck
Salem.
And whatever. I don't let anybody
no.
touch my cards.
No. I made
so
that
I
mistake
sure that
when I first started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I made that mistake a long time ago, and then I stopped letting people touch the cards, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're putting all of their energy into your deck. so you don't want to bring that into your next reading. So I never let anybody touch my deck.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a box and a cloth, you know, that I put inside the box and keep them in.
Yeah, and you keep it protected from other energy, right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Yeah. Now, do you ever clean your deck at all?
When I have a really, really busy day,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, I'll give it a light cleanse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what do you do? What do you use for that?
Just basically the same way that you would clear your own energy. I just use myself.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a couple of taps and you roll the energy away. And if I'm at home, then I'll use sage. Obviously, I can't do that like at work, so... sometimes I will bring my cards home, and you know, if I know they need an extra cleanse, and then I'll, you know, I'll sage them,
mm-hmm.
make sure that I'll get, you know, all that energy that I don't need in that deck cleared.
Yeah, well, it helps
yeah.
not letting others and people
yeah.
that you don't really
well, I guess I don't have to do it very often because of the fact that I don't let anyone touch my cards.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yep.
true. Now, you also are sort of a pendulum master. How many pendulums do you have at this point, Laurie?
Oh, God, over 100.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, if I'm somewhere and I see a stone that I don't have or a shape that I don't have, I just have to have it. Yeah.
Now I know what to get you for your birthday.
Yep, I love my pendulums.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been a stone girl anyways, and I mean... when I was a little kid, I used to collect rocks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they were bright and shiny. I mean, I have severe OSS anyways, which is oh shiny syndrome. So anything that shines called my attention. So same thing works with the pendulums. You know, if the stone's bright and vibrant, and it, you know, it just calls my name.
Yeah. What's your favorite pendulum? What does that look like? The one you use most?
I think my most favorite is one that I actually made myself. It used
mm-hmm.
to be this really amazing stone shop in Dunstable, Mass. And I was really upset when they closed. They moved it like Texas or something. But I got a garnet that was polished that was supposed to be made for a necklace, but I actually used it for the heaviest part of the pendulum, and on the opposite end, I have a Herkimer diamond.
Ooh.
And I think that's my favorite one.
That sounds nice.
Like,
what do you
I
use?
Put together myself.
How, and then what do you use to string them together?
I use the sterling silver chain.
Okay.
Mhm. You can use string. You don't have to have a weight on the opposite end if you don't want to. I mean, the weight really doesn't make a difference depending upon the way you decide to hold it. Some people like the weight because they actually hold the weighted, you know, the weighted end, and that's how they'll develop the string. I take the chain and I drape it over my finger. So it was just basically aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah. Sounds beautiful. Between the garnet and the Herkimer diamond and silver, that sounds beautiful.
Yeah, it's very, very pretty.
Well, really,
yeah,
people can make pendulums out of a screw if they want to, tie a string to it.
You can, you can use a wedding ring.
Yeah.
Just a band. And, you know, like I said, use a piece of sewing thread.
Mm-hmm.
That works just as, you know, just as well. You're still going to get your answer.
Now, do you have to ask just any yes or no questions, just like you would with maybe a, well, with a Ouija board, you can actually spell things out. But with a pendulum,
mm-hmm.
it's yes or no, and that's it?
Yes or no. Definitely yes or no. Yep.
And how about
How
about finding things with a pendulum? Can you do that?
Oh yeah, that definitely works too. it's a form of dowsing, like, you know, you would use dowsing rods. It's basically kind of the same thing.
Yes.
Well, when you ask the pendulum, you have to be really, really clear. You can't ask confusing questions, right, Laurie?
No. Nope. Usually, you know, a yes or no swing would be back or forth, back and forth, up or down, you know. If it doesn't want to answer, or if the questioning, I didn't word it the right way, it wasn't completely yes or no, I'll get a circle that will spin.
Yes.
And it goes crazy, so I know I need to ask it again or rephrase that question.
Mm-hmm.
So for finding lost objects, what I've done in the past is sort of say, is the object in the house?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the yes or no, right? And then the next question would be to go by floor and then room by room.
Room to room,
Yeah, and the question has to be really clear.
Mm-hmm.
If you're asking, is it in the house or is it outside, you're not going to get a clear answer, right?
No.
Mm-hmm.
It'd have to be in the form of two separate questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you really wouldn't have to ask to if it's in the house and says yes, you know where you're going.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, so this is for kids, you know.
Do you use dowsing rods also, or do you just stay with pendulum?
I have dowsing rods as well, but I really don't have to use them really that often. I mean, you can use them for ghost hunting too, just like you can use a pendulum as well. The only thing is you have to make sure that you're actually really using them inside more than outside because, you know, wind is a factor.
Mm-hmm.
It can sway the pendulum or the dowsing rods. So I really haven't, used dowsing rods in years.
Yeah, I know there are some people around here that are dowsers that help, you know, they actually can find water and things like that on property. So that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
But have you ever just taken out a map? Has somebody ever just said, find this or that, and given you a map, and you use your pendulum on it?
No, that I haven't done. Nope.
I see that in the movies all the time. That's why I had to ask you if you've ever done it. Because it looks really cool. It's like you could find treasures
that way. Yeah, it looks really
cool,
but no, I haven't had to actually do that, so no. Nope.
I think the gentleman, I think the gentleman we had on from Find Me used the pendulum with maps, didn't he?
You're right, he did.
Yeah.
He did, yes.
That was his whole thing, was finding coordinates on maps,
That's cool.
Hmm. There's a comment in the chat room I just want to share with you from Deborah, and she says, I actually made a pendulum out of a washer and a shoestring to find my lost pendulum, and it's gone missing.
Oh, that's cute.
Between the couch pillows. So I guess Deborah found it. It worked.
Wow. That's cool.
Awesome. My grandmother, who didn't understand anything about anything metaphysical at all, was firm in her belief, as many of the older people were back in my youth, of using a needle on a thread, Laurie, to figure out how many children a woman was. How many children a woman is going to have, and whether they'd be boys or girls. And that
thing
was
accurate.
That's
where the whole wedding ring came in too. Was that kind of that time period, basically, you know, the sex of the baby or how many children that someone would have.
That's very accurate.
Now, when you look at someone's palm, Laurie, what do you see? Is it just like a regular reading? I mean, can you, or do you also go into lifeline, healthline?
I do read some of the lines, but for me, it's like a direct energy connect. And then I tie some of the lines in, and like Colleen said, I don't have to use cards all the time. And I think that's just basically a skill that you develop over time.
Right.
I definitely am one that believes that your psychic ability doesn't stop. It just keeps growing and growing. The more you use it, the better you're going to become.
Right.
So it's not like you reach a certain age and all of a sudden it stops and that's all you're ever going to know. So I, like, over the years, I mean, I didn't always do it that way. Like everybody else, I, you know, I kind of started out with cards too. And then just as time goes on, you just get yourself to the point where you don't even need them. You use the person as the tool instead of the cards. Which I actually like better because, like I said, I get all the information directly from that person. I'm not using another aid. The person has the information. I just have to take it from them or get it from them. So.
Well, we're really reading their field of energy and what their thoughts are and so forth. And I agree with you. The more you practice, the stronger it gets.
Oh, definitely.
But
like I said, I don't
think
believe
that
it
some people... Yeah, some people are always asking me, I know my intuition is getting stronger, but I want to hear voice. And I'm not sure that every system is cut out to hear voice, but I know that every system is intuitive. And the longer you practice, the more powerful it will get, mostly because we just keep trusting and trusting and trusting the information we're getting. Right, Laurie?
Definitely.
You don't have one single concern about the information not being accurate. And so you're very able to speak it and say what you're getting, and it's amazing, you know.
Definitely. Like I said, that does come with time. And so you have to put the work in, that's for sure. Definitely have to put the work in.
So how many years have you been doing this now, Lori?
I started reading when I was like 15.
Oh, my goodness.
So she won't tell you how many years, Patricia.
No, that's okay. Because
it's a
lifetime.
No, I don't care. To me, age is just a number. I'm 47. So it's been like 32 years.
Well,
I don't care. Anybody can ask me at my age. I'll tell you what it is.
Good for you.
Yeah. I'm 47. So it's
well, we wish you a fantastic Halloween season. I know you've been really busy and have all your regular clients and new ones, because you're awesome, Laurie. You know.
Oh, thank you, Helene.
Anybody
you're always good
for
that
Salem area
that I need every once in a little bit of a while.
But anyone who's visiting the Salem area can find Laurie at Bewitched in Salem. It would be to your best interest to call ahead for an appointment with her because she's very busy this month.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you for spending your time with us.
Thanks for coming on the show, Lori, and I hope you have a terrific time at the Witch's Ball.
Oh, I will. I will. And I hope to see you soon in Salem.
I hope so. I'm going to be dragging Helene down to those tunnels with us. So.
Well, first we have to drag you here, Patricia.
I know. First I've got to get there.
Yeah, see? She's talking to Taco, but get to see her.
You know, you guys are not that far away from me, but sometimes it feels like it's on the other side of the universe. I don't know why.
I know. But you know what it is? You just have to set yourself that time and say, I'm going, and that's it.
That's right. And
something else is always going to come up and take that place.
It definitely will. And now's the time. The time is
so
now.
So you need to visit us.
I do. I want to see the tunnels. I want to have some experiences down there and share them with our listening audience. So I'm all excited about it.
I can't wait. You have to come before it's too cold so we can actually go in the cemetery.
Yes, I know. We've got to get there before winter hits, and that's just around the corner. So, yeah, it's got to be soon.
And I'll check into tunnel tours.
Okay. That sounds great. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Lori.
Have a great night.
Thanks
you
so
too.
Much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Laura is so much fun.
Oh, she's great and so talented.
Yeah.
So talented
she's
as a reader.
Incredibly talented. Well, I hope that everybody goes on over to Supernatural Girls with a Z and signs up for the fabulous newsletter that Patricia produces each and every week. We had so much fun tonight, didn't we, Patricia?
We had. I had fun, and I know you did too.
Yeah.
This is a
different
kind of show for us. We don't normally do free readings for people, but maybe something that we want to start doing more often because it certainly was very popular with our callers tonight, and I'm sorry we couldn't get to everybody, but we're going to do it again. That's all. We're just going to plan on doing it again.
That's right. It's been great, and I hope everyone has a wonderful evening.
Yes, and also be sure to tune in to the new radio show, Power Preppers, which I'm hosting on Thursdays from 1 to 2, where we talk about easy and efficient preparation for just about any emergency. We've had some terrific guests on home security and people talking about the right kinds of products to store. So we've got great stuff coming up, and please be sure to tune in with that as well. Next week, we have a wonderful guest coming on talking about very, very significant hauntings. So we're going to continue our spooky October next week.
It'll be great. I'm looking forward to that, Patricia.
I can't wait. It's all fun and it's all great. So thanks for a wonderful evening, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, and please be sure to join us next week.
Good night, Patricia.
Good night, Helene. Everybody have a beautiful tomorrow.